Hi, this is The Root Cellar, where we talk about pioneer living and modern homesteading, homesteading in a modern world, or
something.
Living modernly in an old-fashioned way.
Yeah, we're something.
We're all mixed up today.
We're doing stuff. To the best of our ability.
That's a good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm Andrea, and this is Jolene.
Hi.
And thank you for joining us for another episode of The Root Cellar. So we kind of had an exciting afternoon. Mm-hmm. So
you want to...
Asparagus.
Speargrass pickling.
Before we get into the class, though, what have you been up to this last week? So last week, we had an exciting podcast about what it was like to live as a pioneer with everyone dying around you and disease and all of that.
Mm-hmm. A little dark.
Yeah, a little dark.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, the week. Well, at school, we were doing a music project and the kids had presentations, so that was fun. I do this music project where, because I'm an English teacher, where they look for literary devices. It's poetry month, it's April. So they look for literary devices in the lyrics of their favorite song.
Yeah.
I learn a lot of new music that way and I like a lot of it. It's actually kind of for my own benefit because I'm like, add that to my little list on Spotify.
So then you can like drop that name or that name to your kids at school and be like, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Have you heard of such and such artist?
Yeah.
And they're like, you listen to them too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so relevant. You'd never know I was in my 30s.
I remember when I first started teaching, I was in my mid-20s and they were all like listening to music by people in their mid-20s and they thought they were so cool and they're like, you know this song, you know that song. I'm like, this song is being sung by somebody my age.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, man.
Yeah. So doing that. What else? Oh, and then my husband, major points. He took the kids to Portland, to my parents' house, and then helped my aunt clean out my grandpa's house who passed away last September. It's not his grandpa.
Yeah.
It's my grandpa. But big points for that one.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's nice of him.
And not only that, gave you a weekend, which I don't know when. I don't think you've ever had a weekend alone.
Never.
Ever.
No.
Since you've had kids.
No.
I mean, we've gone and done like an overnighter.
Yeah.
A couple times, but you haven't like had a whole weekend by
at
yourself in your own house to do stuff.
Oh, I was like the whole time yesterday. Well, I had my friend Jennifer over and she was helping me cut asparagus and stuff and just visiting. And I kept like waiting for them to wake up. They're like, oh, no, they're not taking a nap. Because there was like, at one point I was like, oh, I better start. Oh, no dinner. Who cares?
I don't have to eat dinner tonight. I don't have to make dinner tonight.
Yeah. Nobody's going to beg for macaroni and cheese or spit out vegetables or anything. It was great.
Freedom.
I know. It was wonderful. So that was nice. I was all alone. Which also... thankfully, my mom watched them while he did that. And then my other aunt and uncle watched the boys while he was doing, because he can't have them, he's cleaning out.
Well,
the house,
yeah.
He can't have them, but yeah, so there are a lot of good helpers that I appreciate right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I know, that sounds quite nice. I love traveling. And this last week, Lita and I went to Portland for the Oregon Writing Festival for her. It was her first year being able to attend, which was really exciting. But we took, we had an appointment on Friday. And then after that, we were able to go with Charlie and we went to the zoo. And then her and I just kind of walked around Portland and did some shopping. And I took her to Marrakesh, which is the Moroccan restaurant.
My gosh. Had she been there before?
No.
We've been there together like twice, haven't we?
Yeah, because we've taken student groups and things. But, well, and those are baby birds in the chimney in the background, people, just so you know.
See how real this is.
Yes. And it's really hot in here today, too, in the cabin. Whew. But she was a real downer at first about it. She's like, this is weird. And I don't know about this. And it's kind of boring. She's like, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm sitting across the table from you. Maybe we could have a conversation.
That's what you do at a restaurant.
Yeah, she was just kind of weird.
I think she was probably just uncomfortable.
I think she was just uncomfortable. And it was late for her. It was like 7:45, the dinner reservation, because belly dancing doesn't start till late.
Oh, and you guys are really strict about bedtimes and stuff.
So yeah, and really she's cool. Usually like in bed reading a book by 7:45. So, yeah. And we had a long day. We walked over 6 miles it was just, you know, a long day. But it was a lot of fun and I tried to get her blander food because that was the other thing. She didn't want to try any of the food. And she's like, I don't know, that's weird. She's really picky.
It's so fragrant too. It's not necessarily spicy, all of it, but it's...
Well, and like I kept getting more and more hot Moroccan mint tea for our table because I absolutely love it. I'm like, just try it because she was kind of cold. I'm like, drink it. She's like, it's okay. It's kind of too minty. It's almost like spearmint. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
She's also just trying to be grown up by knowing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, okay. So she wouldn't even, like, she tried the lentil soup. That was a no. And then she wouldn't even try, like, the Moroccan salad at the beginning to eat with bread and stuff. She tried, strangely, though, she tries the, like, phyllo dough that has chicken and eggs in it with powdered sugar on it. She'd eat that weird combination.
Oh, I think that's really good.
It's good, but it's, like, an odd, so she went for that, but I got her something really simple. She was like, I think my chicken was, like, a little too done. Like, it tastes a little, like, you know, smoky on the outside. I'm like, whatever, kid. Because it was, like, grilled on a kebab. Yeah. But as soon as the belly dancing started, she was, like, holding a kebab of chicken, like chewing it, like you can imagine, and staring at the belly dancer. And she liked that. She tried to give her like a dollar in her waistband, you know, how they do.
Oh my gosh.
And she was super shy about that. That was cute. But so she had fun. Before we could leave on Friday and go anywhere, the cat, so Smokey had been missing a couple of days. So Justin had to go down to a meeting ahead of us, and then I had to take Lita. We had to go to town because I had an appointment and then she had an appointment. So anyway, before that, we couldn't find the cat anywhere.
Oh no.
And we're trying to hurry to get going. And he'd been missing at least a day and a half. Like we didn't know where he was. I'm like, oh no, a coyote got him, whatever. And Lita goes on this big search Friday morning and she finds him.
Oh no.
And he was at the bottom of the old well.
Oh no.
Yes, up on the hill. So I was like, are you serious? Mm. So I go up there with the ladder, the extension ladder, and it's, I don't know how many feet, it's probably like 12 feet deep.
Yeah.
You know, it's the big cistern wells that they used to pump the water into and store on the hillside, and then it'd be gravity fed down to the old farmhouses. Somehow he'd got himself in there. I don't know how long he'd been in there. And
no broken leg or anything?
No.
Okay.
And he couldn't get it back out. You know, there was no way. So I put the ladder, hoping he would just climb up the ladder himself. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-mm. And in the bottom of this, just so everybody has a good visual, there's like dirt and just dust. You know, there's a roof over it. So.
And probably 10 million spiders.
Oh, no. Actually, not that many spiders, but lots of dead, speaking of birds in the background, lots of dead birds dried, like mummified.
Yuck.
As well as mice and then snakes. Mm. Mummified dead snakes in the bottom of it,
even
like all coiled up.
Get out.
No.
Oh.
All coiled up with their mouths open, like, and their teeth.
Ew.
It was disgusting. So, guess who had to go down into the bottom of it?
Not Lita.
Not Lita. Not Charlie.
Oh.
Mommy to the rescue.
Oh, boy.
I had like a clean sweater on that I was going to wear on our trip. And there went that. Got that all covered in dirt, but we rescued the cat. Locked the cat back in the house before we went. So that was kind of our adventure with Smokey the cat. Fell down the old well. All kinds of fun on the farm.
This is exactly the opposite of that, but it reminds me of something I read the other day. It was like this article about different advice that people have gotten or like things people say.
Yeah.
And somebody's mom apparently says, have you ever seen a cat skeleton in a tree? And that means things will work themselves out.
Oh.
Don't worry about it too
interesting.
Much. Yeah.
However, I think if we wouldn't have found Smokey, there would have been a cat skeleton
in
the
well. That's a little different. Some things are different, but a cat in a tree, it'll work itself
that's
out.
That's true. Lita did say, she goes, if we wouldn't have found him, and she was like freaking out crying, oh, Smokey, save him, he's crying. But she goes, if we wouldn't have found him, I think that I kind of eventually would have forgotten about him. In like 3 years, I'd go over there and look, and there'd be a mummified cat in the well. And I'd go, oh, yeah, we once had a cat named Smokey. And I'm like, that's
and
lovely.
There he's dead.
Yeah. Lovely, Lita. Great imagery there.
Yeah.
We also had a coyote real close to the house running across. The dog was after this last week.
Huh.
So then I was kind of worried because I'm like, oh, great. And it was a big fat coyote. And trying to keep an eye out on all of our livestock, especially now that we have a baby goat. Oh my gosh, those baby birds are like...
I know, they're just incessant.
Yeah. And then the one goat that still hasn't had her babies and she's just getting fatter. And I thought she was going to have a babies a month ago.
Are they stuck?
No, you would know if like she was having issues that way. I think she's just going to have triplets. She's a triplet. I can't remember if she had, I think she had triplets last year too. But besides the goats, the garden, we've been doing a lot of gardening. Charlie's got his new garden set up. Justin hates this time of year. And so this is like his dreaded time. He deserves
points too.
He does. He does a lot of extra stuff and a lot of work. But he absolutely hates it once it starts getting warm and the weather gets good because it's so much work around here. And he's also trying to go over and help his mom with her house. And so it's just so much work.
A lot for him.
Yeah. So I need to get a couple teenagers over here to help us with some yard work here in the next couple of weeks because things are just everything's growing. And it's so hard to keep up.
Our grass is like knee high because the starter went out on our mower. And we've been busy every weekend too. Yeah. So Caleb's like, when am I going to fix this? And I'm like, I don't know. And Zeke had a tick.
Ooh, I need to check Charlie. That reminds me. It's bad tick season.
And he just, it had just barely bitten him right on the neck. And we got it, me and the babysitter, Jesse. But he right when I got home, he got up, woke up from a nap and came out. I was like, what is on your neck? It looked like a booger.
Ew.
Oh, it's a tick. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't stand ticks. If it had been engorged, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
You would have.
I guess because it's my child, but one time there was one of my dog and I was like, get out. I'm not doing it. I'm not touching it. I couldn't do it.
No, it doesn't bother me.
Oh, ticks are the worst for me. It's like that one thing, like needles don't bother me. Snakes don't bother me that bad. I mean, I'm going to avoid them. Spiders don't bother me.
Yeah.
But ticks are like, oh God. Oh, so
gross. I mean, not that they're pleasant. They're nasty, but.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like there's always that, everyone has that one thing. It's ticks for me.
Ugh. Ew. Yeah. They are gross.
So icky.
And when they do get engorged, it's really gross. At one time, it was like grooming a dog that had one on it, and it busted on it, and it was like blood everywhere. It was disgusting. But anyway, moving on from that, let's talk about food now.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great. Mm-hmm.
So today, you came over to do pickled asparagus on the farm, and we had 8 people here. That was a lot of fun. The weather, beautiful, sunny, warm.
It's like a perfect spring.
Not really wind. It was great. Everything went really well. I don't know. At least I felt like everything went really well.
Yeah, I did too. It's interesting the difference between, because I'm usually doing this myself in my kitchen, and I've got, you know, my kitchen island and my counter, and I have my little routine of like blanching them and putting them in the little pan and then doing the thing. But then we're doing it all outside on propane burners. And so everything was more spread out. And there were a couple of moments where I was like,
Where did I set that?
Where do I go next? What? But then it went really quick with so many helpful hands.
Yeah, so for sure. And I was just kind of like Sherpa. I just kind of ran things around and made sure people had wine and food.
What did you say? We emptied 2 bottles and...
we emptied 2 bottles and canned
18
jars. And filled 18 jars. Yeah. but for you, so I've been teaching classes here on the farm for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time or two I did it, I was like really nervous, especially because, you know, we teach teenagers at school all the time, and we're used to having that audience with kids. But teaching adults is different.
Absolutely.
Working with adults is different, especially in a home setting. You're not like in your classroom, so it's a little different because the environment can kind of set the stage for what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And so this is different. So I wanted to know, how as your first adult class, what do you think? What are your takeaways?
It's different because these are people who chose to be there.
Yeah.
Very few teenagers choose to be in writing class. I think kind of few people in general choose to be in writing class. It's not everybody's favorite thing. It was my favorite thing, which is why I became an English teacher. But then you get there and you're like, well, maybe I should have picked an elective. Oh, geez. But everybody wanted to be there and they were engaged and interested and wanting to learn. So that was definitely different, but I do love teenagers.
Yeah.
I love them because they're so hopeful. I feel like there's so much the world is open to them.
Yeah.
Not that adults can't be that way too, but that's why I like teenagers.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun. I thought it was fun. And it was nice having a little small class like that. 8 is a good number. I thought,
And you're right, it went by pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. There were some definitely, I think, lessons learned, like...
Yeah, like start the can earlier
so yeah, it gets boiling. Some water boiling yeah. earlier.
Yeah.
You know, did it... And you said today it took you longer to pack things up to get here than you thought it would.
Oh, yeah, this morning it took... Well, because I was also enjoying my time this morning of like, oh, I don't have any children to get dressed.
Can sit and have a cup of coffee.
Just sitting here watching trash TV for a minute, having extra coffee, and then... And then I was like, oh, I better pack all this up. And it took me a while to pack everything up. And
yeah.
And I packed everything. I overdid it. I mean, obviously, you have knives.
Yeah.
I probably didn't need every knife in my house. And but they're the good ones. You know. And all the jars. I don't know why. I knew I was going to do... Okay, I've done this same thing with asparagus several times now.
Yeah.
So I know that 80 pounds of asparagus gets me somewhere between 35 and 40 quarts.
Yeah.
And then, but I was intending to do 40 pounds today because we didn't need yeah. more than that for everyone to take a jar home. But for some reason, I brought like 36 quarts. I bought 3 dozen quarts. And like, why did I, like goofy stuff like that. Like I didn't need that many jars. Oh well,
better be safe than sorry. I guess right.
Yeah. So, all that stuff, and I was running around the rest of the weekend getting stuff ready.
Yeah,
which was fun. My 5-year-old had an epic tantrum at Winco. He was punching me. I was just thinking to myself the other day. I was gonna write a blog post about it, but then I got like I was just thinking about this in the car. Like, I'm really comfortable with a school analogy.
Yeah.
Just a school life analogy. So I was thinking about like, oh, I'm like taking all these tests right now. It's exams right now in the college of life. And I'm in like parenting 301. I've got 3 kids. And that was my public tantrum exam. I wanted to throttle him. He was punching me. He was screaming. He almost spit in a lady's face.
Oh my
he
gosh.
He tried to shove the cart into another lady with his brother in it. All because I would not buy him a Tom and Jerry DVD. Logically, he needed that DVD because he was wearing a Tom and Jerry t-shirt.
Of course, why not?
So he needed it. But he had been bad, so I said, you're not getting rewarded. And he threw this most epic tantrum. And then at the end of it, he told me, I'm going to ruin your car, but I'm not going to tell you which one.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, you said what? And he just like crosses his arms and gives me the face that he does because he's feisty.
Like a stink eye.
Like a stink eye. And I'm like, I think you better get buckled. And then he didn't say a word the whole way home. And then, but I feel like I passed my test because.
He didn't get what he wanted.
He didn't get what he wanted. I didn't throw him under a bus. I didn't leave him behind. Everybody was still alive. And I think he learned his lesson that I'm not responding to that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, other than I kind of manhandled him a little bit to get him to not push the cart into the lady.
But. I think that's the hardest thing in public with kids like that, because you want to show people like, I'm going to make my kid listen to me. But at the same time, you don't want to be like, I am going to abuse my kid. You know?
Yeah.
Like there's like a fine line of yeah. like discipline without going overboard.
Yeah.
For both your kid and being in the public, like to show your kid, like I'm serious, you're not going to get rewarded. You're in right. trouble. But yet also for other people to see like, no, I don't let my kid act out. But yet my kid's continuing to act yeah. out. It doesn't matter what I say to him. He's continuing to act out. Like mm-hmm. I've got to step in and stop him yeah. without going
right.
over or
right, you know, and that's why I said I feel hard. Like I passed my test.
Good job.
Like, yeah, mom win right there. But
and yes. you got at least you got a win. You got a break.
Then I got a break. They went away.
they went away.
Which he was so worried about me being home alone. No. He was like, when I told him that they were going to go and I was going to stay, he told me he was like, "But aren't you afraid of robbers?" No, I'm not afraid of robbers. Why have we been afraid any other time? Like when daddy's been gone,
yeah.
we've been home. No, we're not afraid.
But you're by yourself.
But I was by myself. And he actually thought that he should stay home to protect me.
Oh,
from robbers. I was like, okay, well, do we normally have robbers at our house? I said, the dogs will warn me. He's like, what would you do? I said, well, the dogs will let me know if somebody's here.
Yeah.
I will lock the door and call the police. Yeah. But I don't know. funny. Kids are funny. So it was like one extreme to the other with him. Because that was all within 2 hours that those conversations, well, that tantrum and that conversation happened. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, Charlie's big kick for a while was, I love you sometimes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I don't really like you, but I love you sometimes. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's fine. I always love you, but you don't have to love me. That's fine.
Okay. You have free will.
Yeah.
You're your own person.
Yeah. So we'll get mad. I don't think I really love you right now. Okay.
Hey, that's nice. Great.
Oh, real kind.
Rhiannon's been saying stuff like that to me whenever, if she gets in trouble, she says, I only like my daddy and my grandma. Okay. That's fine. And then she'll be like, and I like Jesse. And then she keeps going. She'll keep going on it. She'll be like, and I like my friend Lita. My best friend.
I don't know if Lita's aware that they're best friends.
Oh, I told her. I told her. That's her best friend. And her other best friend is a junior at my school. Another girl.
Because she likes the older friends.
Yes, because she has blonde hair like her.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's good. Good reason to have a best friend.
Yes. Yes. So I don't know. Kids are funny, but anyway, asparagus class I thought went good and I'm looking forward to more classes in the future.
Well, you said you were a little nervous when you got here.
I was, cause it's adults.
Yeah.
I've always been a little nervous speaking to adults. I mean, we're public speakers by trade.
Yeah.
That's what I always tell kids at school because they hate public speaking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's my job. I'm a public speaker.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Public speaking. You don't even realize what jobs are public speaking. And, but it's always adults that make me nervous. Like when I used to do drama.
Yeah.
And then I would get up and talk to the adults.
Yeah. And do the introduction. The and intro, yeah. Yeah.
It was like, oh gosh, adults are looking at me. Yeah. They're going to judge me. But kids, I have no problem with kids. But yeah.
I think it's just like a comfort thing. Like you get comfortable with whoever your audience is.
Yes. Because the first day I ever taught, I remember when I first came to Heppner, that first day I was shaking the first couple of periods. But then by like the third or fourth period of the day, it was like, oh, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also too, has to do with like with a, it's a power thing too, right? Like you're an authority figure over
right. I can
kids.
Say, get out of here.
Right?
Yeah.
Versus adults.
Yeah.
You're like,
right.
You're at the same level of right. authority.
Right. And I don't know. It's the older I get to, I don't know if it's more experience in teaching or the older I get
yeah.
the fact that I have kids now, but it's more comfortable being yeah. an authority figure the further we go in this.
Yeah.
You know, because right at first I was so young. And like, I mean, honestly, what was I, 24 when I came out
yeah.
here? And since my husband is so much younger than me, some of those kids, I had seniors that first year, that first half year. Those guys, some of those guys are my husband's friends.
Yeah, that's weird.
Now, which is weird to think about, but it's not weird because it's
yeah.
a small town and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But those are people who I've entertained in my house, you know, that I've
yeah.
been, well, some of them at a concert recently, you know, and like socialize
yeah.
with them, see them socially. And they're great people. And
yeah.
And so at some point the lines blur. But now I'm so much older than now I'm officially old enough to be the mother of the kids I have at school.
Yeah. I remember my first yeah. student who was the daughter of somebody like my age.
Yeah.
And it was a weird, trippy feeling because my kids weren't that old yet. And so it was just like a weird, like, oh,
yeah.
I could be your mother.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Right. Because I'm whatever, let's see, like 19 years older than the
yeah.
freshmen.
Yeah.
I have freshmen through seniors right now.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely old enough to be their mom.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, this is kind of a trippy thing, but
yeah,
you get used to it. And now I'm yeah. like, oh no, it's more common because I'm older than you. So now it's
yeah.
like a lot of my students have parents about my age.
Right.
Like in middle school. I mean, I've
right,
got 13
right.
year olds. I mean, many of them have parents my age. So I'm completely used to it and their mm-hmm. parents being more my peers. But at first it was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, mm-hmm. You could be my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Hmm.
Weird to think about.
Yeah. But yeah, teaching adults is, like I'm saying, they were motivated to learn the thing. And I don't think I was teaching anybody anything that hard. It's just the
yeah.
steps. And so I made sure I hope everybody took their little handout home.
I think with canning, It's just the precision stuff. And there's so many little things that if you don't know about, like you mm-hmm. gave them a lot of really good tips and ideas on, you know, packing it and how the, I don't know. To me, it's too tedious. That's why you're the canner and I'm not. Like there's just a lot of tediousness to it.
There is. And that's actually what I like about it. Well, it's what's my other hobby? It's very tedious.
Yeah. Crocheting is tedious
because you're doing the same repetitive motion over and over. But I don't generally do these things. Either I have someone there to talk to.
Yeah.
Or I have something going. I'm listening to a book or a podcast or something. So I find it like, oh, what is that word? Now I can't think of it. It's therapeutic. Like almost
soothing or
it's soothing. Yeah. And I enjoy sitting at my table with all this stuff in front of me and cutting things to the same length because
you're a freak.
Because I'm weird. I know. Embrace it. Whatever you like. Whatever your deal is. Let your
freak flag fly.
Yeah, but I can't. And I don't know. The other thing about canning is that it is tedious like that, but then there's a series of steps. Yeah. So here I'm cutting all of these things to the same length, and then I'm doing the next part, and then I'm doing the next part. And I have to kind of keep all my balls in the air at the same time, you know, because this has got to get boiling and that has got to get boiling and that has to be 15 minutes and this has to be this many minutes. And
I find it funny because that takes so much like organization and so much like, again, tediousness and like being very exact, same and meticulous, same with your crocheting. And you always say how you're not that way in other things.
No,
right? And I am much more like particular about certain things, but I don't like hobbies that are necessarily like particular.
Maybe that's a human nature thing.
Yeah.
You do need a thing that's
either one or the other, like an opposite, like a yin and yang.
Yeah. Like you need something that's repetitive but I'm just not clean and tidy, I guess is what I really mean. I'm just not naturally that way.
But then you're choosing hobbies in which you have to be.
I know.
Like canning, you have to be extremely clean and tidy while you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the kitchen gets a deep clean before I do it and everything is well. And then it forces me to have things that way. So maybe it is. Maybe that's part of it. But I like when my space is clean. I'm just not good at keeping it that way. And I don't have there's no one else keeping their stuff. Sorry, Caleb. He doesn't listen. Caleb doesn't listen to the podcast because he thinks that he would have constructive criticism and that I would not take it very well.
Is he right?
Which is true. So I'm always like, oh, you haven't listened to it. And he's like, I don't want to have something to say and then hurt your feelings unintentionally. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You wouldn't like it anyways. You wouldn't like it anyways. It's not for you. But so... Yeah, he's doesn't keep things clean either, and we have so many little kids that don't keep things clean. However, I don't know, have I told this story yet about, it's always about Gabriel and the dishes?
No.
Have I told you about Gabriel and the dishes?
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Gabriel currently believes that the reward for finishing all your vegetables and your dinner first is to do the dishes.
Oh, this is a great award. Reward.
Yes, because this is the way that Caleb is a great parent, because he can be straight-faced and say things like this and convince kids of stuff. He can't lie to me very good. He has tried to lie to me, and I always get him.
Yeah.
Like goofy stuff. I'm like, I can see it in your eyes. But he can lie to the kids. So someday they'll learn his tells.
Yeah.
You know you have tells when you lie? Yeah. Like how you hold your eyes or how you move your mouth or whatever. Well, he says to Gabriel one day, he didn't want to eat asparagus, of all things. He doesn't like asparagus. And so he's got Rhiannon and Gabriel in a race to eat asparagus. I filmed it. It's hilarious. And Gabriel's crying and trying to eat one spear of asparagus. And then Caleb's like, hurry. You gotta get the prize. You gotta get the prize. And so he finishes. And he's like, oh, you did it. You get to do the dishes. Oh, my gosh. And he's like, oh, I do? So he goes and he runs and he gets the toothbrushing stool and he brings it out to the kitchen and he gets up there and he gets to run the sprayer.
Ooh.
He will rinse one dish for 5 minutes. I mean, I don't leave him alone to do the dishes because I have to be like, okay, that one's clean. Thank you.
Yeah.
Put it in the dishwasher now.
Yeah.
But he wants to do the dishes. And so then he got in trouble last week for something else. And Caleb was like, at dinner, Gabriel, I'm really sorry, but you're going to need to be punished. And I hate to be the one to tell you this, but mommy's going to do the dishes. I was like, oh, really?
Oh, me?
Huh? Me? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I'm just like, I'm going to do the dishes, Gabriel. And you're just going to have to go take a bath. I'm really sorry. Maybe tomorrow. But that's like, was the he thing like
heartbroken?
Right now. Yeah. He put his hand down or his head down in his like arms on the table and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. It's like, also, the other one on Gabriel lately is that he doesn't think Caleb can read.
Oh.
Yes, because the kindergarten teacher, she sent the kindergarten roundup thing, and it was like all about, you know, it's a printed letter, and yeah, then at the bottom she wrote a note that said, I'm so excited to have you in class next year. Well, I read the letter part first, and then we got hung up on 2:65 for lunch, and Gabriel wants to know, is it a restaurant? Yes. Yes, it is. So he got all hung up on that. And then, you know, we move on with the day. Caleb gets home and then Caleb picks it up and he reads the note from the teacher.
Oh,
he read that first. Cause I never got to that part because I got hung up on the restaurant thing. And Gabriel goes, it doesn't say that. And I was like, oh my God, Caleb, he doesn't think you can read because of all the times that you've read the stories wrong on purpose. So, cause like I read the story 10 times and then Caleb reads it and changes it. So funny. Kids are funny. This stuff's fun. But yeah, keep getting off topic about asparagus. We got a lot of pickled asparagus.
We're going to do jams and jellies next, which I do think a strawberry rhubarb would be fun.
Yeah. The strawberry rhubarb is good. And now I really know what I'm doing. Cause last time I realized afterwards that I need to cut the rhubarb smaller.
Yeah.
Or maybe blend it. Maybe.
Yeah. I think if I were you, like I always cut it up before I freeze it, but then I would even maybe puree it or puree it down or something. I think
it needs to be pureed.
Because most people don't like
strawberry, but not chunks of rhubarb because it's too bitter.
Too bitter and stringy. And
yeah. But we put cinnamon in it and it's good.
That'll be really tasty. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that one. And then you can use it right away in like pickles and things.
Do you have a steamer? Like to make a juice. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to buy one because that's what someone asked me the other day. Cause making jellies, you can use a steamer and steam the fruit. Well, cause I was talking about the blueberry jam that I made that you like, I think it's gritty.
Yeah.
And I think that if I made blueberry jelly, it would be way better without all the pulp.
Yeah. What I normally do, like even with the strawberries, often when I do strawberry jam or different ones, I puree, like I cook it, mash it all down, and then I puree it.
Yeah, which the blueberry was.
Yeah.
But it just had a texture that I didn't like.
Was it from the cinnamon, you think?
No, it wasn't from the cinnamon because it was throughout. It wasn't just a little bit of grittiness. It was like the whole thing was gritty.
Gritty blueberries.
Gritty blueberries. Well, because it's like I left the peels and everything in there and I just pureed it all up. Peels. I don't know. They really have the skins. I guess. It's not really a peel.
The peel with the blueberry.
Like, it's not like an orange. I've never made orange marmalade, by the way.
That'd be good. It's okay.
Some people.
Charlie likes it because it's, you know, has to do with Paddington Bear. So he's a big marmalade fan. Like, that's his thing.
Maybe we should make marmalade. There's so many things I want to make.
Well, yeah. Go crazy, lady.
We just need to not work anymore so we can just make stuff. I don't know.
We will have to make all of our own stuff because we won't be able to afford to buy anything.
Yeah. Or we could just figure out a way to enslave all the teenagers and make them make all the stuff for us.
Have you met a teenager lately? Do you really want them making your stuff for you?
No.
Oh my goodness. At school, when I tell the kids, could you please clean this up or that? They are horrible at it. Like, they don't know how to do dishes. They don't know how. Like, you have to stand over the top and be like, nope. And then I feel like a jerk. But I'm like, that's not how you do that. Like, look at it. Can't you see that there's still a mess? It's fine. No, it's not.
Yeah. That's how I am. Maybe sometimes. I have
higher standards, though, too. Like,
that's like the time that that's the story about me getting grounded from reading when I was a kid because it was Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire just came out. And you know, you had to like get on the wait list and get it the day of. So I had it. I just started reading it. And my mom interrupted me in my reading to tell me to vacuum the stairs, and I told her they're not dirty. I lost the book for like a week. She took it with her everywhere. She took it in her minivan with her to the gym so that I couldn't have it.
Ooh.
I was grounded from reading. They made me watch sitcoms.
Did you learn your lesson?
No. Not to argue with your mom. I was still a brat. Sorry with my mom. I still sometimes think things aren't dirty when she does.
Well, it was like Lita today when you came over. Oh, that got me irritated. So we're all getting ready for the asparagus class. I mean, I knew no one was going to be in the house, but I didn't want the house to be messy at all. Ask Lita. I was outside working the lavender garden. I'm trying to get it all ready because we'll have our lavender class and everything in June. And I said, could you please make sure you put the dishes in the dishwasher, clean things up? Yeah, I did that. Oh, so it's, and she is a good helper. Like she cleans the house pretty good.
She's meticulous too.
And she's usually meticulous. So I trusted her. I'm like, oh, okay, good. And she was outside playing with Charlie. Well, I go in and there's like a popcorn bowl sitting on the couch. And then like half of the dishes didn't get in the dishwasher. Uh-huh. And I said, what happened? I thought you said you cleaned the house. What do you mean? I did. And I said, no, you left this and you left that. So were you lying to me? And she goes, no, I just forgot. I'm like, oh, really? You forgot that you left a big mess when I asked you 5 minutes after you came out of the house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I forgot. Jeez.
Oh.
It's the whole attitude thing. I'm like, you just can go to your room. And she stomps up the stairs. She goes, it's just like a popcorn bowl anyway. Like she's getting that tone.
Uh-huh. And didn't she say, don't call me a liar or something?
Yeah, she said something along the lines like, don't call me a liar. She acts like she's hurt about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't call me a liar. I'm not a liar. Well, I'm like, well, you're lying. Like, because I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're 9. Yeah. You're not 80. Yeah. You would remember within 5 minutes if you cleaned it up. Like, I point blankly asked you, like, what you did.
And then later, whatever it was, she was saying something about Charlie. Well, why do I have to do this when Charlie doesn't have to do anything? Moving chairs.
Moving chairs. I asked her to move 7 chairs and she was slowly dragging them across the lawn as slowly as she could.
Yeah, she's like, well, he doesn't have to do it. He's 5. The chair is bigger than him.
And she's like, well, well, I said, you didn't do it when you were 5. I did. And Jolene was there. Yeah, and she's like, witness, no, you didn't.
Yeah, no, you did not. You did not do that when you were 5.
Oh, man.
Oh, kids.
She can go from like being, and I guess anybody who has teenagers or preteens or kids in general can probably relate to this, just like Gabriel with the tantrum. She can go from being the most helpful, lovely, like, this is so pleasant to be around my child. Like, wow, maybe I've done something right, to 360. Like, who is this little demon who's being a jerk to me right now? Like, okay. What is going on?
Because I feel like you're talking about me. I do that too.
I think that's every parent. Like, the other day, I had such a lovely time with her on Friday in Portland until she turned into this little drag at the restaurant for a while. But great time. I was like, wow, this is what it's going to be like. Like, we can hang out and go shopping. And she's getting older. This is going to be so much fun. And then also we get to the restaurant and she's like laying her head on her knees. And she's like, and looking at people weird and turning up her nose.
Like, yeah. Oh, no. I mean, me as a human. I feel like I do that. I'll be like happy all day. And then I'll get home and like see that I have dishes to do or something. And then I'm like...
Well, I think that's everybody too.
Like the other night, whatever it was, Caleb was in a great mood and came home and I was cooking and I had my back to him. And then I do not remember what he was saying to me, but I got all snippy about it. I was like, really? That's what you're going to do? And then he's like, okay.
Whoa.
He goes, in what universe did you not realize that was a joke? And I was like, oh, sorry. Because I was like, I can't believe you would ever even say that. Well, he wasn't really saying that. He was being sarcastic, but I wasn't looking at him, so I didn't see it on his face. But
well, and I think
I do stuff like that.
I think it's easier for women, honestly, to get away with being snippety than men, because it's complete double standard. And I will give a shout out to Justin on this one, because he generally is in a pretty good, like, mellow, like, keel mood, like, and I can get real snippety and real ornery.
Yeah.
And
I said,
yeah, and he's like, if I talk to you that way, the way that you're talking to me, that would like not go okay.
Which is interesting. One reason that my mom says she likes Caleb so much is that he doesn't let me get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said every other boyfriend I had just let me walk all over him, which is true. But she said that he doesn't let me get away with it. And that's
which is good.
Also, she said, because he was staying at their house this weekend, she said, oh, I like to spend time with him when you're not there. I was like, thanks.
Okay, mom, that's a little weird, but sure.
I was like, oh, great.
Oh, yeah. My mom says stuff like that. Like, she goes, well, if something happens to you, I'll just have to move in to take care of Justin and the kids.
Okay.
Okay. And Justin's all for it. He's like, that'd be great. Your mom will cook. She'll clean because she's so old school, you know, yeah. Like, yeah, you should be ironing his shirts for him and you should be making hot. You know, I'm like, mom, I'm working full time, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, because she's into that. She does all of that. But speaking of our one episode about like morals and and she's the 1950s more ideas.
Yeah, my mom says that too. I think she thought she was very like liberal minded and new age and everything. But then with things that have come up with me, she's like, oh, well, I think that I normally do this and I normally do that. And I'm like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
It's just not fair.
Yeah.
But then again, guess what? I don't do yard work really.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of stuff I get away with not doing. Things that are dirty, a lot of times I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So
I think as long as people feel like it's balanced, you know, as long as there's a balance there.
And I don't even know how to work the weed eater.
I know how, but I can never get it to start right. Justin's like, will you weed eat or will you do this? And I'm like, well, if I can get either of those things started.
I'll sit here and watch TV and fold laundry. That's me.
Yeah. Like, and I heard like the rototiller, for instance, I would be so happy to rototill. He does it because the rototiller, like, we have this one patch of ground in the garden that it hits and it's hard and it like starts running away with you. And I'm not strong enough to like keep it pulled back. So it, for me personally, it's frustrating. There are some physical things that I just literally cannot do as well as him because I'm not as strong or as big. And that's hard because I'm like, it's not that I don't necessarily want to. It's like I physically do not have the same strength and ability. And that sucks.
But it's like you say at school, fair is not equal.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Anyway, well, we've kind of gone all over in this episode from cats and wells to asparagus to teenagers to bratty kids to.
Yeah. It's all related.
Yeah. It's all related.
Because it's just, this is the whole, we're addressing the whole life.
Yeah.
This is the whole person.
Yeah. The whole person. Throw in some canning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pickles.
We've got lots of asparagus now. So if anyone local wants some asparagus, get in touch.
Yeah, no kidding. That, and if anyone's interested in learning about jams and jellies on June 8th, go ahead and shoot us an email or contact us or find us on Facebook. All kinds of exciting stuff. And another thing, the farm to table dinner on the 21st. If you go to blackacrefarmstead.com, find out more about that. And that's going to be really good.
We gotta look at our
live schedule. Music, local beer and wine, all from the farm food. It's going to be tasty. So anyhow, thank you for listening to another episode of The Root Cellar, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.